This is Diana Previs with Happy Gut Healthy Lives. Today, I have Dr. Heather Paulson, who is a board-certified naturopathic oncologist, teacher, best-selling author, and speaker. After experiencing cancer with loved ones, Dr. Paulson left her marine biology career for medical school. She works with people undergoing cancer treatment of radiation surgery and chemotherapy, and she's going to explain how she integrates natural remedies to reduce side effects and risk of recurrence, and most importantly, cancer prevention, how it all starts in the gut. She is the author of the best-selling book, Cancer Proof, 7 Natural Ways to Live Cancer-Free. Welcome, Heather. Thanks for joining us today. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure, I would love to. As you mentioned, I started off my career after undergrad as a marine biologist, and I got my bachelor's degree in aquatic biology. An interesting thing happened while I was studying aquatic biology, and that is that my father was diagnosed with colon cancer. I was, 18 years old at the time, and what ended up happening is that I spent an equal amount of time looking at the medical research library and the research library for my specialty of aquatic biology. It was a huge gift that the same classes, same pre-med classes that you take to get into medical school were the same classes that I took in aquatic biology. There were just a couple of different classes in terms of the biology of fishes and learning how dolphins communicate and things like that that were a great joy as a marine biologist. But I had this foundation of reading research papers and being the go-to person in my family that answered questions about my dad's cancer. And I remember in my fourth year of undergrad, my dad's cancer had come back a fifth time. He had cancer in the colon, which is why this gut health conversation is so, so very important. And during his whole years of having cancer, not having cancer, having cancer, not having cancer, we always asked his doctors, hey, his cancer's in his gut. Should we be changing diet? Should we be doing something else? Are there other nutrients or herbs we could be adding on to help with keeping him in remission? And the answer at the time was always like, no, diet doesn't matter. Supplements don't matter. Herbs don't matter. And it was really striking to me that we continued with cycles of chemotherapy, but diet was brushed to the side. It was something that my dad was always desperately kind of seeking information on, spending time researching. And we didn't know that there were these specialists that were physicians and also knew natural medicine and also were trained in nutrition and also were trained in counseling, all the acupuncture, all the things that naturopathic doctors are trained in. And when I first came across naturopathic medicine, I was taking a break from my job with the National Park Service working in the Redwood Forest known as Muir Woods, just north of San Francisco. And I took a break to be with my dad while he was on hospice. And I was looking at his feeding bag. He was being given calories and nutrition through a bag that was given IV. And that was the first time that his medical providers had actually done anything around diet. And it was just to prevent his body from completely wasting away. And I remember staring at that bag and thinking, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be another answer. And I know it's too late for my dad. He's on hospice. He's dying. I knew that. But I still went back to my family's house and researched and came across this term, naturopathic medicine, naturopathic doctor, and realize that the things that naturopaths are taught and the way that they treat people medically was that missing link that my family felt for so many years between conventional medicine and diet, conventional medicine and natural medicine. And I really saw naturopathic medicine as this bridge between natural healing, using nutrition to heal, and medications that are sometimes needed in order to create wellness in our bodies. So it was just 3 days before my dad died that I came across this information. We were nonverbal at the time. I just mostly sat by him holding his hand And so we never got to talk about this career change that I decided in that moment I was going to make. But that is how I wound up here talking with you today. And I'm so excited to share what I've learned over decades of experience and what I've learned to reply to that question. Is there anything that we can do? Is there anything we can do to prevent cancer? Is there anything we can do if we've been diagnosed with cancer?
Right. And I know myself working over a decade with cancer patients, and this topic, happy gut, healthy lives, how to heal your gut, reduce your stress, optimize your weight, and promote clear thinking. We want to get to a lot of viewers today, those that have autoimmune diseases, but also in terms of looking towards that prevention and people, and then also people that are just in wellness and maintaining that wellness. And I know how important your role is because I saw the side effects that people were experiencing going through conventional treatment. Let's kind of jump in here. What things can we do when we know, as Hippocrates stated, all disease starts in the gut? What can we do in terms of cancer prevention? Because that's like the leading autoimmune disease out there. What are the first things that you tell people when you're working with them towards prevention?
Yeah, well, I have a five-step program or kind of framework that I like people to think about when talking about cancer prevention or reducing risk of recurrence. And this applies to every illness or every person experiencing health. These are the five steps that need to be part of your day-to-day life. And that, I call that the great life, because I think we all want to live a great and healthy life. And the great life includes getting active, reducing your risk through getting preventative blood work and screenings done, eating for life, adding meaning, and thinking green, so removing toxins from your household and from your overall environment. And I think that those are the pieces that create an environment in our body that makes it challenging for cancer cells to survive.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What have you seen in terms of the people that you've worked with where they've been able to turn things around?
Well, I think it takes several different things to fall into a place for people to turn their cancer diagnosis around. I always like to acknowledge that there is a healing force outside of ourselves and within ourselves that is part of the equation. And to me, that's the add meaning part where there's prayer and meditation and this intangible thing that can help us with our health and healing. And that's the unknown. I mean, I think that's the big, like, X marks the spot in terms of when you do everything else right, when you're exercising the right amount of minutes and you are eating a clean diet and you are doing everything that you can to have the right prevention measures in place, or you're doing the right screenings and you eliminate toxins, you're not, you know, using toxic beauty products or eating toxic food, then that's the unknown solve for X, if you will, of health and wellness is this add meaning piece of the part within you and out of you that is part of your overall healing process. So when you say what helps create health shifts in people or maybe what helps them with their disease, it's easy to focus on, oh, eat these particular foods or do these particular supplements. And I know that you and I are going to talk about those things too, because those are important. Those are part of the foundation of creating the right environment for health. But so often I get people in my office that say, I don't understand why I got cancer. I did all of the things that the people in the prevention books and magazines and interviews said to do. I ate healthy. I exercised. You know, I go to my doctor, and I still got this. I don't understand. And so I like to point to that X factor of our own internal healing and external healing from a higher power, and whether that internal healing has to do with thoughts or anger, resentment, emotions, and that higher power. I really believe that there is another piece of healing that is from a higher power, depending on however you want to define that, whether that's God or universal energy. We're learning more and more about the energy fields that our own body creates as well. And then there's the toxicity part, where we only have what we can control as our home environment in terms of our toxic exposures. And then we have all these external toxins outside of our home that are controlled by state and federal legislation, how much air pollution goes into the air, how much pollution hits your water system and circulates throughout the entire planet through our rainwater system. So at this point in history, there is not a single place on this planet where you can completely escape pesticides from your water supply because of the way rainwater has distributed and clouds have distributed these chemicals across the entire planet. So that is part of my shift from marine biologist to physician, was looking at that kind of chemical exposure and saying, where can I make the most impact? How can I help shift the health of the planet and shift the health of individuals in the biggest way? So,
right. And we know that, as you said, healing occurs from the inside out. And the number one compromiser of the immune system is stress. So even if someone's going to the gym and they're working out, as we've learned through some of these interviews, that, you know, we produce cortisol and we could be stressing ourselves out in ways just because of how we internalize things. And when you work with cancer patients and those that are trying to work towards prevention or not getting another recurrence, I want to cover two areas. Things that people should look out as warning signs for their gut that they need to go somewhere for help. Mm-hmm. And then the other part that I want to focus on is the things that you do in treatment, from the physical modalities, from people that are suffering from side effects, that might be that 1% takeaway that somebody that's listening to this call, that they could see how they could incorporate or reach out to you. So I'll let you go ahead and take off with that.
Absolutely. Well, I'll address the first question first, because both of those are pretty big topics. And then you might have to remind me of the second question. So in terms of what to look out for if you are maybe at risk for having cancer, you know, you want to, especially cancer of the gut, you want to be investigating gas and bloating. You want to be investigating anytime you have low red blood cell counts or you're told that you're anemic. You want to make sure that your doctor is checking on the gut and making sure that there's no bleeding going on in the intestines. One of the maybe not so healthy things that I did when I was in medical school is I had my dad's old medical records in my garage, and my fourth year of medical school, I pulled them out to just kind of read through them and see, okay, what was the progression of his disease? And because I remember it this particular way as a young adult, but maybe there were other things going on. And he had anemia for 5 years prior to his diagnosis, and they gave him iron infusions and he couldn't keep his iron levels up. And we were taught in medical school, like one of our board questions that we're grilled on over and over again, is that if somebody over the age of 40 for men and non-menstruating for women, if they are having a hard time keeping their iron stores up, the first step that you do is you rule out bleeding in the gut. And mostly you're ruling out a tumor that is causing ulceration and bleeding and anemia. So that is super important. It might seem like something that can fly under the radar, but you would have anemia if you're having dizziness on standing, if you're having shortness of breath, you're pale, you bruise easily, you bleed easily when you floss your teeth or you brush your teeth. Those are maybe sometimes hair thinning, muscle cramps in the lower legs. These are all signs of anemia, and I encourage you listening, if you have these symptoms, to talk about it with your doctor and see if maybe you need to check into an iron panel or a colonoscopy to get checked for any type of bleeding going on in your body, or a camera that looks down your throat and into your stomach, because it can also be bleeding from years of heartburn affecting the throat and the stomach. that's probably the easiest thing to do. But also with gas and bloating is one of the key signs of ovarian cancer, as well as some multiple issues going on in the gut, one of them being cancer. So you want to make sure that if you're experiencing gas and bloating and you've listened to these speakers on this great summit and you've made changes and you've changed your diet, you take probiotics, you know, you've done all the things and you're still experiencing gas and bloating, that you take that seriously and discuss it seriously with your doctor. There's a lot of testing that can be done. There's tumor markers that can be looked at. There are tests that you can use to flush in your toilet that interacts with your bowel movements and changes color to show you if there's any blood in your stool. There's tests that are really easy to do from home that can see if you have any of the DNA from colon cancer cells in your stool, and that can tell you if you're at risk for colon cancer or not. So these are some of the simple things that you can do to help look out for and reduce your risk of cancer in the GI tract.
Yeah, that's excellent. I wanted to ask you one question before you answer the other question I asked. Primarily cancer, is it a genetic disease, or is anyone at risk from a gut cancer?
Yeah, so only 5% of cancers are genetically related. Now, with colon cancer, there are a couple, actually, different types of genetic cancers that can be linked to colon cancer, and they're known as Lynch syndrome is one version. And then there's FAP, which is familial adenomatous polyposis syndrome. So that just means people who form a lot of polyps. So if on a colonoscopy you have more than 2 to 3 polyps, then you might be in this category of having a genetic disorder that creates a lot of polyp formation, which can then increase risk of cancer.
I think that number, people don't realize that really this is not a genetic disease. It has everything to do with how we live our lives and the things that we're exposed to. When a patient is in treatment, what are some of the physical recommendations that you make to patients suffering from maybe side effects of maybe their GI bleeds, or they have high levels of constipation or diarrhea, or, you know, they've lost a tremendous amount of weight? What do you do as a naturopathic oncologist to support their health?
Well, GI bleeds, that's an emergency situation, and that's something that needs to be handled through the ER, and is a very dangerous side effect of certain chemotherapeutics. So I don't tend to address those because I want to make sure that people listening are not stopping at the medicine cabinet or by their herb cabinet before heading to the ER. Just go ahead and go to the emergency room. But with constipation, diarrhea, mouth sores, which if you have sores in your mouth, it's affecting your whole GI system, so you probably have some ulcerations in the intestines as well. Those kinds of things I like to address in a multifactorial way. That can include amino acids like L-glutamine. So the amino acid L-glutamine has been shown to be a great tool for reducing mouth sores and also reducing both constipation and diarrhea with certain types of chemotherapies. And then it can also be helpful for maintaining muscle mass. And if you're having weight loss during cancer, the type of weight that you're losing is of muscle. So even when patients say, well, I need to lose weight anyway, so this is good that I'm losing weight, it's like, we want to make sure you're losing the right kind of weight. So what happens when you're losing weight during cancer treatment or during a cancer diagnosis is you're actually losing muscle mass and you're maintaining fat mass, and that creates a change in the balance of fat to muscle, and we don't really want to see that happen in our bodies because that sets us up for metabolic problems down the road. So L-glutamine is one of the things that I feel is safe for most chemotherapies. But the thing with recommendations in my practice is that it's tailored to exactly which chemotherapy you are on, because different natural therapies interact differently with different medications. So we want to make sure that you are always taking things that are safe with your medication, doing things to increase how effective chemotherapy is, and also supporting the side effect profile. Another thing that's pretty safe for most people is using hydrotherapy for gut inflammation, for constipation, for diarrhea. So even if you're not tuning in with a cancer diagnosis, this can be useful for you as well. But I like to use two different hydrotherapy techniques to address the gut depending on what's going on. One technique is to put a hand towel, size towel, into cold water. It can be ice cold if you can tolerate that, but it can also just be cold water from the tap. You get the towel wet and wring it out, and you place it over your abdomen, and then you place a blanket over that. It's preferred that it's a blanket that tracks heat in a bit, so a velour blanket, a wool blanket, something like that, and you apply that across your abdomen, and you leave the wet towel, the cold wet towel, on your abdomen until it completely heats up to touch. So when you take the blanket off and you touch the towel, is it warm or is it still cold? And what this does when your body heat has to come and warm up this cold towel, it creates localized blood flow. And it also can wake up the nervous system. So we use this to help stimulate peristalsis, which is the gentle movement of your intestines, which can help with moving your bowels and can help with initiating hunger if you're not feeling hungry. It can help in several ways. And then increasing the blood flow to the area can help reduce inflammation and can just overall help with healing that area of the body. So that's one type of hydrotherapy. The other one is alternating hot and cold towels on the abdomen for 5 minutes at a time. So you do 5 minutes of a hot towel, 5 minutes of a cold towel, 5 minutes of a hot towel, 5 minutes of a cold towel. And what this does is creates kind of a pumping action, if you will, of the circulatory system local to the stomach and the abdomen. And this can help, again, reduce inflammation. It can help with lymphatic flow. It can help with constipation and diarrhea. And it's also used for pain management. So some of my patients who have pain from their pancreatic cancer or their bowel tumors, they will use this for pain management by adding some white vinegar into the mix of the water. But the main caution with these therapies, because it does trigger peristalsis, you want to make sure that you're not using hydrotherapy if you're at risk for a bowel obstruction or you haven't had a bowel movement for several days and that's unusual for you and you might have a bowel obstruction. These are not good therapies for you. If you have any nerve damage and you have a hard time feeling hot and cold temperatures, this is not a good therapy for you. And then for some people who have an infection, this pumping action can increase the spread of infection. So this wouldn't be a good therapy for you if you have an infection. But that's one of the simple things that I have my patients do at home.
And that's excellent information. And I'm sure that everyone would check in with their doctor first to let them know that this is a technique that they found. We're nearing the end, unfortunately, but I wanted to know what you're up to now, what you're doing, if you've written any new books out there. I know this other book that you wrote for cancer patients was a bestseller. Can you share what's next on the agenda?
Yeah, absolutely. So this past fall, I just released Cancer Proof, 7 Natural Steps for Living Cancer Free, and it's available on Amazon, and that has been a work of love to put that together. In that book, I go more through some of the lab work that's important for reducing your risk. We talk about genetics. We talk about exercise, exactly how much exercise, how many minutes. There's some meditation practices in there. We talk about thoughts and how that impacts your health. So everything that I've talked about today is in there, plus some detoxification strategies, particularly for cancer survivors and people wanting to prevent cancer, some recipes and strategies in there around that. But on the horizon is a really exciting place to look right now. There's a lot going on at the Paulson Center. You know, we are doing more and more retreats for people who have been diagnosed with cancer and their family and loved ones to come and experience firsthand some of the techniques and have an individual evaluation of their health so that they can get back on track with their health and wellness. And I am also working on a kind of secret project right now where we're looking at integrating all these different aspects of medicine from Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, Cherokee medicine, all of these different traditional healing systems and integrating it into one system that you can use at home and help navigate where you are on the spectrum of health and wellness. So I'm really excited about that, but I'm just going to give you a little teaser. There will be more of that to come. If you are part of my community, you'll hear all about it.
So I want people to be able to contact you. So let them know now, where should they go?
The best place to connect with me is on my website, which is drheatherpaulson.com. That's D-R, and then my name, Heather, H-E-A-T-H-E-R, Paulson, P-A-U-L-S-O-N.com. And when you go there, you can easily join my email list and become part of the community. And we're really excited to support you in your journey towards health.
Oh, you were wonderful, and I'm sure your dad is really smiling at you right now for all the wonderful work that you've done and all the help that you've given to people in need. Thank you so much for being part of this summit. Stay tuned tomorrow. We'll have another episode of Happy Gut Healthy Lives. Take care.